Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Let's do a quick preview of today's docket. First, the court said we are going to Ada County for trial. It would appear a career law enforcement officer was willing to throw away her entire career for a criminal. You gotta love, love. A stay of execution was granted for the Texas death row inmate Melissa Lucio. Now what happens? A Texas mother shot and killed a man who broke into her home while her and her three children were inside. The father of JonBenet Ramsey is launching a petition calling for new DNA analysis and as it relates to JonBenet. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. We have returned home to the Crime Talk studios after attending our first ever CrimeCon convention, and this year it was held in Las Vegas. I believe next year is Orlando, and I gotta admit, it was fun. It was fun meeting subscribers and meeting new subscribers, and then they would come back and say, "Where have you been all this time? I love your content." That was so nice. We also had fans bringing us gifts, which was very nice, but completely unnecessary. But thank you very much. And it was very humbling as well. And what I mean by that is when fans would come up to you and say that they rely upon you to explain the law and the analysis of the cases, it's humbling. So I guess I better get it correct. And also had fans come up and say that they came to CrimeCon just to meet me. Once again, very humbling that people take their time and their money to, come see me. I don't know what to say other than thank you very much. I assure you it is not taken for granted at all. So to all of our subscribers, viewer, Patreon members, and all who came to see us at CrimeCon, we say thank you. So before we get to the docket, let's take a moment to support today's sponsor. Today's sponsor is CrimeTalkSearch.com, which is a background subscription service where you can do a background search on anyone in the United States and get the search results within minutes. The report you will receive is a report showing emails associated with a person and social media accounts related to a person. You'll receive a criminal background check, which will show arrests and convictions. The report will show sex offender registry records, if they exist, property records, civil judgments against somebody, and even divorce records. So if you're meeting someone new or don't feel that the new someone is telling you everything, go check them out. Don't become a victim. It is dating malpractice not to check out somebody new in your life these days. Maybe it's the kid's new boyfriend or girlfriend, and maybe there's just something saying your spidey senses are tingling and you don't feel right. Go check it out. And yes, there is a small fee, but guess what? You can do a background search on as many people as you want for one low price. And remember, you can always cancel at any time. So go to crimetalksearch.com. All right, the link is below. Now, remember to like the video, subscribe if you have not, and hit that bell for notifications. And if you can't watch us on YouTube, you can listen to us on all of your favorite podcasting apps anytime. All right, let's open the record on Monday, May 2nd, 2022, and begin the docket. First, the court says we are going to Ada County for the trial. Whose trial, you may say? That's right, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. Quick recap. The defense had filed a motion for a change of venue back on July 21st of 2021 in the Lori Vallow Chad Daybell matter. The state opposed the motion because they want to do it in their own backyard. Well, the court granted the change of venue motion, and the Idaho Supreme Court ordered back on October 21st of 2021, basically affirming the court's transfer of the case, that it go to Ada County there in Idaho. The state then said, please let us present evidence to have the jury selected in Ada County and then transfer them back to Fremont County. And the reason really cited was cost. And the defense opposed the motion. They opposed that it should even be reconsidered in any way. But the court, kind of out of a fundamental fairness and to make sure that the record was complete, said, fine, let's have a hearing. Well, the court did in fact consider the motion filed by the district attorney, and the evidence was presented. and it wasn't a bad idea simply to do that in a death penalty case to make sure the record is complete. The issue, as I stated, was the money. The difference between doing a trial in Ada County versus basically their home base there in Fremont County was about $71,000, probably closer to $72,000 if the jury was not sequestered in Fremont County, but that would be higher if that's the case. It would be higher even if they're sequestered in Ada County. But the court found that the state has not met their burden in persuading the court to exercise its discretion in the transportation of a jury. The court noted that while additional costs have been considered carefully, the pervasive media coverage concerning this case, Lori and Chad, resulted in the court's initial determination that the trial would be transferred to Ada County to reasonably ensure the impaneling of a fair, impartial jury. With that decision, the court now must ensure that all parties receive the best opportunity to select and maintain a jury representing a fair cross-section of citizens throughout the protracted trial. And the court also noted that unfortunately there will be increased costs, and that concern cannot override other factors that the court has to consider. Now, I think the judge made the right decision. I've also said judges usually don't like to change their minds on motions to reconsider because then it looks like they got it wrong. But I think this is the right decision to make. It's inconvenient for the prosecutor, but they did it correctly. And I said, if you look at my previous interviews, the cost and inconvenience are minor factors. These DAs are coming up on having this case now for the last 2.5 years. They should be saying to the judge and the public, you tell me where and when, and we will have our witnesses and our evidence ready to present to any 12 jurors, and we will prove our case beyond a reasonable doubt to every element of the offense charged. Justice is expensive, and these little squabbles take away from valuable trial preparation time. So I think the prosecution, I understand it, they're trying to save the people's money, but it's a death penalty case. Justice is expensive. Now, the other order that Judge Boyce issued was rather brief as compared to the other motion regarding the change of venue. And it was simply basically the motion to dismiss the indictment filed by Mr. Pryor on behalf of his client, Chad DeBell, is denied. Not surprisingly, the order came down the way it did. I've never seen an indictment dismissed for an alleged grand jury misconduct, and I doubted this was going to be the case here. Now, we've never received the details alleged because of grand jury secrecy and some privacy issues as well, but unfortunately, we will probably never find out what the issues were unless, of course, these issues were raised in cross-examination at trial. I think we may get a taste of that to see what went on in the grand jury room. You know, remember the allegations were basically that there was improper testimony and it was prejudicial and all that stuff. But it's a grand jury. It's coming in. We will continue to bring you the latest news on Chad DeBell and Lori Vallow as it develops. Next on the docket, of all the guys to fall in love with, you have got to be kidding me. A warrant was issued for Vicky White. She's the assistant director of corrections at the Lauderdale County Correctional Facility on charges of permitting or facilitating escape in the first degree. Now, Vicky White was last seen Friday when she said that she was taking inmate Casey White for a mental health evaluation at the county courthouse. No evaluation or hearing was in fact scheduled for the inmate on that particular day, the authorities later discovered. Now, video shows the patrol car Vicky White and inmate Casey White took from the jail Friday morning. According to the timestamp on the video, it shows the patrol car just 8 minutes after it left the jail. Now, according to police, what that tells us is that the patrol car left the detention center and went straight to the parking lot where it was abandoned and later found by police. There was not enough time for them to even attempt to try and come to the courthouse, according to the police. It now looks like Vicky White acted of her own free will. Initially, there was a possibility that maybe she was in fact kidnapped, somehow overpowered, but that doesn't appear to be the case as it was coming around today. But they have to consider all options, well, until there isn't another option. Needless to say, Ms. White's coworkers are devastated because she was considered to be a model employee. And I hate to say this, but what have I said? That's right, the 12 undeniable truths from a criminal defense attorney. just about everybody has a double life. It appears as though Miss White did for sure. Now, Miss White is a widow with no children, and her mother and two brothers live in Lauderdale County, and her mother can simply only say that she is in a deep state of shock. The sheriff said that after 2 decades with the department, Vicki White submitted her retirement paperwork last week, and Friday was supposed to be her last day. Last day indeed it was. Now, who is this catch that Mr. White was willing to give it all up for? This guy, Casey White, serving 75 years for a series of crimes going back to 2015, including a home invasion, carjacking, and a police chase. He was also facing 2 counts of capital murder for the stabbing death of 58-year-old Connie Ridgway back in 2015. In 2020, Casey White confessed to the killing, but ultimately entered a plea of not guilty and was awaiting trial. He is 6'9" tall, weighs somewhere around 250 pounds, and he is assumed to be armed and dangerous. And the United States Marshal Service is offering a reward of up to $10,000 for information leading to the location of Vicki White and the capture of Casey White. Now, in 2020, Mr. Casey White apparently planned to escape the jail and to take a hostage at the detention center, but unfortunately, the detention center employees foiled that plan. This is a crazy situation, and somehow I think it is going to end terribly for all involved. I just do not get it. A woman who's probably followed every rule her entire life gives it up for a guy who's serving a 75-year sentence and serving and awaiting a jury trial for a murder case? Come on. She could do much better than that. The dating pool is a lot larger than your work area, for sure. All right, now on the docket, what happens now in the case of Melissa Lucio, who received a stay of execution for her death penalty sentence? And this comes now 14 years after she was sent to the Texas death row. Melissa Lucio will finally get the chance to have her evidence of her innocence claims examined in court. Now, Miss Lucio, the mother of 14, her family and attorney say that she was wrongfully convicted in regards to the death of her toddler, Mariah. Now, while prosecutors argue at trial that Lucio was an abusive mother who caused the injuries that led to the girl's death, Lucio's attorneys say those injuries were the result of a fall down the stairs 2 days earlier outside of the family's apartment. Now, the courts ordered Lucio's trial court to review 4 of the 9 claims she raised in her application for a writ of habeas corpus, which demands a public official show a valid reason for a person's detention. Now, the trial court level judge will review her request and prosecutor's response before making a recommendation to the state appeals court, which will decide whether she gets a new trial. It's not clear how long this process is actually going to take. But what are the claims? The first remanded claim asserts that Lucio was convicted based on false testimony by the state's medical experts and investigators who interrogated Lucio the night her daughter died. It's worth noting the legal standard Lucio's team sought to meet does not require proof that the state knew this testimony was false per her habeas application, only that it gave the jury a false impression. Okay? Much lower standard to have it heard doesn't mean it'll change anything. So hours after Mariah died, Lucio was interrogated by investigators, including a Texas Ranger who testified in Lucio's trial for the state. He claimed, according to the habeas application, he knew Lucio was guilty based upon her demeanor. Her head was down and she was avoiding eye contact, signs, he said, of her guilt. The testimony has since been proven scientifically baseless and false. Can't disagree with that. And Lucio's habeas application says, citing a neuroscientist, the scientific consensus today is that there is no basis for the idea that some facial or body movements can reveal someone's mental state. Lucio's second claim that the trial court will review argues the previously unavailable scientific evidence would have prevented a jury from finding Lucio guilty. Now, Lucio was convicted in part, they argue, on the basis of statements she made to authorities in an hours-long interview, guilt presumptive interrogation, the night her daughter died. Now, the vague indication she was responsible for some of Mariah's injuries, but not an admission of guilt in her death, they say, were nonetheless presented at trial as a confession, which is so important, like we always talk about. Anything you say, not only to the police when they're interrogating you, but to anybody you say, can and will be used against you in a court of law, be taken out of context, misconstrued. We'll see if those were in fact misconstrued. But Lucio's statements bear the characteristics of a false confession, her attorneys say, citing two experts, something Lucio's second claim argues she was particularly prone to giving due to her history of a lifelong survivor of sexual abuse and domestic violence. Now, Lucio's legal team has said she denied harming Mariah more than 100 times in her interrogation interview, but after hours of questioning, they said that she parroted back the language suggested to her by interrogators and then demonstrate that the alleged abuse on a doll at interrogators' instructions, this is all in her habeas application. Now, Lucio was particularly susceptible to pressure by investigators, given her lifelong history and trauma, according to attorneys, and this is new evidence that was not available at the time of her trial, and her jury did not hear testimony from an expert on false confessions. This claim argues that, taken together, the evidence Lucio's team has put forward and the reports of expert collectively disprove every element of the prosecution's case against Ms. Lucio. Ms. Lucio's attorneys argue that given the evidence that we've just discussed above, that no rational juror would have found Ms. Lucio guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And executing an innocent person would violate the 8th and 14th Amendments, her right to due process, and that would amount to cruel and unusual punishment, according to her petition. If they had, her attorneys argue, she likely would have not been convicted. And the final claim, remanded to the trial court for the review, alleges prosecutors suppressed evidence that would have helped Lucio by not sharing it with her defense attorneys, further undermining her conviction and violating her right to due process. Now, the evidence allegedly includes information from a Child Protective Service investigator who had interviewed some of Lucio's other children who corroborated Mariah's fall and her deteriorating health and discounting allegations of abuse by the mother. Now, Lucio's attorneys also allege Mariah's siblings' statements to the police were suppressed. Rather than providing Lucio's defense attorneys with their sworn statements, prosecutors gave the defense summaries that omitted potentially exculpatory information. That's all in the allegations in the habeas petition. Now, there's no guarantee that Lucio will get a new trial or any sort of favorable outcome. We're going to have to wait and see. Briefs will be filed, hearings will probably be held, and it will probably take years. We'll have to wait and see. Now, habeas petitions are kind of the last resort when it comes to being attempted. It's after all of the appeals, after all the post-conviction allegations alleging ineffective assistance of counsel, they have all been made. A lot of these claims will have been made, but already denied in the lower courts. And before you can file for habeas, you have to exhaust all appellate and administrative remedies available to the petitioner. We'll follow the Lucio case and see how it turns out. Next, a Texas mother shot and killed a man who broke into her home while her three children were inside. Now, the woman, who's not been identified, but is reportedly in her 30s, was at her San Antonio home with her three children about 10 p.m. on Thursday evening when she heard a glass break. Police say the man, who was later identified as 41-year-old Roman Rodriguez, entered the home from the rear through the laundry room adjacent to a park. The woman grabbed a gun and shot the home intruder twice in the chest. By the time the police arrived, they had found that Rodriguez was sitting in the chair in the backyard and he had bled out. I think that's all we have to say about this case. Don't mess with other people's property, home, safety, and their kids. It could be a deadly decision you make, for sure. Mr. Roman Rodriguez certainly will not be breaking into anyone's home or taking any things of other people. Now, just remember, you have to be very careful. You have to look at the laws in your own state before you just start shooting. But many, many states have the Castle Doctrine that if you believe that a crime is being committed and you are in fear of some sort of harm or death, serious bodily injury, then yes, you can literally shoot first, ask questions later. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you, talk to legal counsel in your state if you have any questions about what is allowed in your state. Next, JonBenet. So, John Ramsey, the father of JonBenet Ramsey, spoke at the CrimeCon convention in 2022 in Las Vegas, where he said he was announcing a petition that he was starting, and he wants an independent agency to conduct the DNA analysis instead of the Boulder Police Department, which Ramsey says botched the investigation. And according to Mr. Ramsey, this petition will hopefully get the state of Colorado to intervene and have the items from the crime scene that could be tested for DNA be, in fact, tested. Now, Mr. Ramsey said it's going to take a lot to get that moving again, but he knows that the government can be very reactive, particularly when it comes to politicians, and they want to make sure they get it right. Now, quick recap, JonBenet's mother, Patsy, reported the six-year-old girl missing the day after Christmas back in 1996 after reportedly finding a ransom note that demanded more than $118,000. John Ramsey discovered the girl's body the same day in the basement of the family's home in Boulder, Colorado. Now, investigators determined that JonBenet was strangled and had an 8.5-inch fracture to her skull. No one has been charged in connection with the killing. And in December, the police department there in Boulder issued a statement marking 25 years since JonBenet was killed. The department said it has processed up to 1,500 pieces of evidence and have reviewed or investigated more than 21,000 tips, letters, and emails. There's been a lot of information and misinformation about this case over the years. Out of complete fairness, neither Mr. Ramsey nor his wife were ever charged. It's been made public that a grand jury did indict them both, but then the then elected district attorney refused to prosecute the case. So we will never know until all the evidence is released in this particular case who is telling us the absolute truth. Now, I'm not saying Mr. Ramsey had anything to do with the death of his daughter. There are some people out there that allege that he has, but the district attorney has completely cleared the Ramseys of any involvement at all in this particular case, and they are not considered suspects. I believe the more prominent theory today is the theory regarding an intruder that came into the house. And this is one of those cases that people will argue all day long, but what about this piece of evidence? How did this get here? How did that get there? It is a case that will go on until it is finally resolved. I think the governor should allow, if he grants a petition, that we be allowed to see all of the evidence and statements in this particular case so that the people can make up their own mind. Let me know your thoughts about the Ramsey case. I listened to this conversation at CrimeCon with Paula Woodward, who was a longtime reporter here in Denver, really planted her flag on the side of the Ramseys and did make a lot of people happy back at the time that all this was going on. Tell me your opinion. Maybe I'll tell you mine tomorrow. All right, next on the docket, our dumb criminal of the day, a roadside ballerina. Please meet Amy Ann Harrington, who was arrested on DUI charges following a crash near her residence in Madeira Beach. That's about 10 miles from St. Petersburg, apparently. Miss Harrington smelled of alcohol when the police contacted her, had slurred speech, and was unsteady on her feet, according to the police. When asked to perform the one-legged stand and the walk and turn test, Harrington instead performed multiple ballet and Irish folk dance moves. Now, Harrington, who refused to take the breath test, was in fact charged with a pair of misdemeanors and booked into the county jail. The police did, coincidentally, find a white foam cup containing an alcoholic beverage in the car as well. Hopefully, this entire incident was captured on body cam video and the tape can be presented to the jury and they can judge her pliés and pataschas and see whether she was intoxicated, well, or just showing off some dance moves. All right, that's all we have for you today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please join us tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, for our live program. We will see you then. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.